prelude as we worship God. And sing with us our call to worship. This is the day. And they remain standing through the invocation all the way through the Gloria. Let us stand and sing together our call to worship. This is the day. Thank you, O Lord, for inviting us into this place. Thank you for being here as we came and traveling with us. Now allow us to worship you. Let us encounter you in our worship. Let us know of your presence. And let us be moved by your Spirit. And if we do that, everything else that we do will be blessed because of your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hymn is Hymn number 277, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. Psalter is page 787. It is Psalm 62, 5 through 12. Let us join together. For God alone my soul waits in silence.
For my hope is from God, who alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, I shall not be shaken.
O God, rest my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge is God.
Trust in God at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before God, who is a refuge for us.
Those of low estate are but brief. Those of high estate are delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than the breath.
Put no confidence in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them.
Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this. Power belongs to God.
And to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you repay all according to their work.
Let us pray together. Let us hear this day the voice of those who have raised prayer requests before you this morning. that have, in their own silence, spoken words of prayer for healing, for strength, for power, who in their own silence, and as they voiced them to you, have asked for healing for our world, for peace to be paramount, both in our world and in our soul, for grace to be given that is beyond what we can imagine, and for strength to be what we hold on to. We do pray, O Lord, this day for those who are struggling because of health issues, who are struggling because of doubt, who struggle because they simply think they ought to struggle. We ask, Lord, that you would grant within our souls the yeast of the Holy Spirit to change us, that it would be measured and stirred into us, and that we would find that power which is the Holy Spirit, the yeast of our life, to come into us and to give us a strength of healing and joy. But we seem to lack that joy, and we appear to have replaced it with doubt, with anger. We appear to have replaced it with less confidence in you, and therefore less confidence in ourselves. We ask that you allow us to let that Spirit change us and move us and comfort us, and that we would know that you are present with us. So heal us. Simple words that you can do, but it causes us to have faith in your doing. Let us have that faith. Now, O Lord, let us not be afraid. Let us proclaim your word. Let us live your Holy Spirit. And let us be guided by that same Spirit. And in doing so, allow us to pray the prayer you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. But forgive us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is Crown Him with Many Crowns. It's page 327. Stand and sing together if you are able.
Awake, my soul.
Let us pray together. Now let us give to you out of the very love of our soul. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Now, if you would please stand for the reading of our Lord's Word. We're reading from the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. And again he said, "To what should I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Let us pray. The Lord, the flour has shown up. Now we need the yeast to be put into us. May the yeast of the Holy Spirit come fully, and may we be moved by that presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So let's do a Bible quiz for a minute. Y'all ready? Y'all ready for your biblical quiz for the day? Come on, don't smile more than that. It's not that hard. It won't hurt. How many parables in the New Testament? Anybody know? A lot. That's a correct answer. A lot is a correct answer. Anybody know the exact number? Depends who you ask. It also depends on which version of the Bible you read. Okay, there may be 42 parables, or there might be 41, or there could be 43. Over the next 19 weeks, minus Passion Palm Sunday and Easter, which have their own set of scriptures, we're going to look at parables. I would love to tell you that I planned this in a certain order, but that would mean I'm orderly, and those who know me know I can't even remember what scripture I'm on Wednesday night that I'm supposed to start on, so we know I'm not that orderly, amen? But we have it, and so we're going to look at the parables. They vary from almost any kind of story. The shortest parable is which one? The one we just read, 2 verses. Now there's some with a couple less words. You don't get persnickety, but it's 2 verses, and it's the shortest parable is the one we have right here. A smart preacher who wanted to preach for 45 minutes or so would have picked another parable to go with it. I'm not that smart, as most of y'all know, and so I chose to just preach on the one parable. The yeast and the flour. Now I'm going to start this sermon now, after this introduction, with something that might seem interesting. I wish I'd have brought the music, but I told Keith he'd have had it for me, but I didn't think about it too late. How many of y'all remember Michael Jackson singing, "One bad apple spoils the whole bunch, girl"? Y'all remember that? Some of y'all may be too old for that, and some of y'all may be too religious to admit you listen to it. And so we'll go with that. But "One bad apple spoils the whole bunch," that's a Michael Jackson song. And it's the opposite of the yeast causing something to rise. The bad apple does what to the rest of the apples? Spoils them, rottens them. Now, if you get the bad apple out fast enough, does it still rotten the apples? Probably. Yeah. But not absolutely, but probably. Because once it starts, it's hard to stop it from getting spoiled. Now, I want you to apply this now, to apply it to both of our lives. How many of us, have ever started to say something, said something, and wished you could have grabbed the word, brought it back, and not had the entire conversation ever spoken of?
All the time.
All the time?
Yeah.
All right. You were really called to be a pastor then. Because we do that all the time. Think about it. That one word spoils a relationship. Causes issues. How many of us have spent our life building our reputation building our business, building our job, building who we are around people. And we do everything right over and over and over and over again. And then one time we do something wrong. And what happens to our entire reputation because of one deed that shouldn't have been done? Think about it. You can do everything right for 50 years. You do one thing wrong and the reputation goes down. You might lose a job or lose a relationship because of one act. To every positive, there's also an ability to have a negative. Think about it this way. In the scriptures, it says that there's three measures of flour. Right? Three. Notice what it doesn't say. It does not tell you how much yeast was put in. The yeast is simply added. Now it's kneaded. If you have any sense, you have warm water with the yeast to activate it. You can do it other than that, but it makes it activate better, usually. It's what Mom said, anyway. And so you put it in, and then you begin to knead the dough. And if you've had enough water and enough yeast as you knead, it will cause the dough to be leavened. How much yeast does it take?
A little.
Mm-hmm. What happens if it's too much? You put three times the amount of yeast that's supposed to be in there. What does the flour do? Y'all know? Oh, we're having cooking school then. Next Sunday I'll bring the table, a little dough, a little. Yes, that'll really make a mess. Put too much in, it causes it to react differently than it should. It either overreacts, and you have that lovely piece of bread that you put in the little 9x5 pan, and you've got it cooking, and you look in there, and it's that 9x14 pan of dough instead of a 9x5 because you've got too much yeast in it. And then you're cleaning the oven up. If you don't put enough, does it still rise?
No, a little.
Rises a little bit. Because only 1 gram of yeast will make things leaven, but not quite as much as it should be. Or how many of y'all have had a church or been in a church that's going real well, things are smooth, things are running well? I know it doesn't sound like church, but it does happen that way on occasion. And things are going great and everything's moving forward. And then you have one person who comes in your midst, and the yeast of that person is more than that church can handle. And what happens to the church? They begin, don't tell them I said this, they begin to disagree and fight with each other. And there's nothing better than a good church fight. Amen? That can be the nastiest thing you've ever been around. I'm going to pick on my principal for a minute. Your school is great. Things are going well. You have a teacher who has to leave because of some reason, and you bring in a teacher for the rest of the year, and that teacher does not get on board with everybody else. What happens to the school? Do what? Yep. Falls apart. If you're smart, you fire them real quick, but somehow that's hard to do. Everything comes down on you. You're still adding yeast. You just may be adding the wrong kind or the wrong kind of flour. What happens when you put yeast in self-rising flour? What has self-rising flour already got in it?
Yeast.
And you add yeast to it, what occurs?
Explodes.
It's not good. So, you bring home this new friend to meet the parents. And you're going to tell the parents that you've met this new friend and y'all are going to get married. And the parents look at you and go, well, it's your choice, but I don't think so. How does the relationships evolve at that point? See, what I want you to see, and I know I'm working through the same thing, because that's the reason most preachers would go get another parable and add to this, because you can tell another story. What I'm trying to do is get you to settle into an understanding that yeast has to be the right kind and the right amount. And the flour, three measures in this case, has to be put in, and it has to be kneaded and cared for and leavened so it can rise and become what it's supposed to be. Your yeast, by the way, is the Holy Spirit. Remember, the kingdom of heaven is like. Their yeast is the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? According to Scripture, the Holy Spirit has come to be your counselor and your guide. It's there to tell you when you need Jesus, before you know you need Jesus. It's there to help you after you've accepted Christ to pray and to grow and to become the one that has been needed and taken care of and has risen to the person that God has called you to be, whatever that is. When you take out the yeast of the Holy Spirit, what happens? You don't rise to be the person that God has called you to be. But everything has to be worked. It has to be kneaded. It has to be formed. And it has to be put into the mold that God wants us to be put in, to be the people we're supposed to be as God has given us the gift for being. That long conversation about gifts and graces falls in here, but we won't go there at this point, but it's there. So what I want you all to understand is, and this may be hard, and it doesn't matter how old you are, whether you're 5 or 105, you're still a work in progress. You're still being needed. You're still having yeast added. You're still being formed. My mama said it a different way. I always like this. It's simple. The moment you quit learning is the moment you died. You may breathe a while longer, but once you think you know it all, guess what happens? You become a know-it-all, not a student. I know Gracie gets tired of me saying I love school. I love school. I would have been a professional student if I could have fed our family. I would go to school forever. Why? Because school is a learning place if you allow it to be. Well, guess what? Y'all are in the school of life. And if you're not learning from it, you've died. You are the bones in the desert that is talked about in the Old Testament that needs life breathed back into it. It can happen, but it happens through the Holy Spirit. So a fun question to ask this morning is, where are you, where am I, where are us in the kneading process? And one last thing. Have you ever noticed that after bread is cooked and taken out and cooled and eaten, that the same pan gets used for the next loaf? Unless you're buying those plastic things and throw them away. The reality is, the same pan gets used for the next loaf. Meaning, once you've learned one lesson, guess what happens next? The kneading process with the yeast happens over and over and over again. For those of us who enjoy math, at least used to, last time I checked, 1 + 1 still equaled 2. And 1 × 1 still equaled how much? Yes. That means that plus and times are not always, in fact, are never the same. So once you learn how to add and subtract, what must you do next? The pan has to be cleaned. The memory of how to cook the bread has to be kept. And you do it over and over and over again. So in the kneading process, are you starting? Are you in the rising phase? Are you in the cooking phase? Are you cooling and ready for the next part? We're never done learning. We're never done growing in the Spirit. And we're always having the yeast applied to us so that we can grow in the presence and the knowledge of God. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Let us not be afraid to be wrong. Let us not be afraid to have to start again. Let us not be afraid. But may the yeast be applied, the flour needed, the cooking happen. And may it be like the kingdom of God, when we finally are fully leavened for the last time, let us be called home. So it won't be like the kingdom of heaven, but will be the kingdom. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is Victory in Jesus. You've been kneaded. You've been leavened. Now it's time to sing the victory. Let us stand and sing together, Victory in Jesus, page 370.
Oh.
sir. I have you, sorry. Yes, ad council meeting is next Sunday, right after church, but not right after cookies because we're doing that this Sunday. Okay, so right after cookies, everybody, please come and get some cookies. If you did not have a birthday this month, you're doing it to celebrate the ones who did. Anniversary the same way. So let's just ask real quick, who had birthdays in the month of January? Who has one? Raise your hand. Raise it high, Gracie. I know you. Gracie had a birthday. She's 14. Pray for us. Those with anniversaries this month, anybody? So you're going to celebrate Gracie's birthday, amen?
Yeah.
She'll be very disappointed if you don't come eat a cookie in her name there. So, and ad cancel next week. All right, let us pray together. Now let us go in peace. May the power of the Holy Spirit and the movement of that Spirit give us strength. And may that Spirit be the yeast in our soul that needs us, that gets us ready to be leaven, and then leavens us that we can do God's work in this world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.